O Holy Spirit of God, help us to be masters of ourselves, that we may become the servants of others. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What do you do after you have seen the glory of God? Moses saw the glory of God on the mountain, and Peter, James, and John saw the glory of God in Jesus, their companion. Jesus had given them a special invitation. Only three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, to go up the mountain with him that day. I wonder what they were thinking, what they thought might happen. They probably thought that Jesus was just bringing them along on one of the times that he would go away by himself to pray. But this was no ordinary prayer. Jesus was transformed, transfigured right before their eyes. They saw the very glory of God in Jesus' shining form on the mountain. It was as if they finally saw Jesus as he really was, divinity in human form. Now, poor Peter began to babble, as many people do when they're frightened or excited. But before he could finish, the voice of God thundered out of the bright cloud. "This is my son. Listen to him." It was all too much. The disciples fell to the ground in fear. And then Jesus touched them. Jesus touched them. He reminded them that he was still with them, and they did not need to be afraid. Jesus touched them and lifted them back up to their feet, brought them back to themselves. But then Jesus did something that seems very strange. He told them not to tell anyone about their experience until after he had been raised from the dead. Now, the disciples may have been able to keep that experience quiet, to not talk about it, but I don't think they would have had to talk about it. I can't imagine that the other disciples would not have seen it in their faces, that something miraculous had happened, that they had been touched by God. For many years, it was very difficult for me to relate to this story of the Transfiguration. And it may be difficult for some of you as well. I think it's particularly difficult to relate to the Transfiguration if we ourselves have not had what someone would call a mountaintop experience. But the good news is that our faith is not dependent upon mountaintop experiences, as wonderful and as inspiring as they can be. Remember, only three of the 12 disciples were with Jesus that day on the mountain. I know many faithful folk who admit to never having had one such, what you would call a mountaintop experience. And that is all right. God speaks to each one of us in a way that we are ready to hear and see. And it remains a mystery as to why sometimes our experiences of God are so different from one another's. Saints such as Teresa of Avila and Mother Teresa wrote in their writings and their diaries of their longing for one more powerful experience of God, one more mountaintop experience. And they did not have one, but they went right on doing their good work and their prayers and their faithful living for years and years with that longing in their hearts. Most of us in this life are only given glimpses of God's glory. Perhaps an exquisite piece of sacred music or art can serve as an icon pointing us to God. Sometimes the majesty and beauty of creation can speak to us of God's glory. Often, though, it is in other people that we see the glory of God revealed. Saint Irenaeus, a second century theologian, said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." The glory of God is a human being fully alive. I think I may have shared Matthew Sanford's story with you before, but if I have, I'm going to do it again. Because his life is so inspirational to me. I heard him interviewed a number of years ago on what used to be Speaking of Faith with Krista Tippett, and now it's called On Being. It's a program on public radio that's a wonderful program. And Matthew Sanford, at the time of the interview, was in his mid-40s and a yoga teacher. And of course, that alone would not be a remarkable thing at all. But Matthew has been paralyzed from the waist down since the age of 13. The age of 13, he was in a terrible car accident with his family, and he suffered a broken back. And he spent years learning to reconnect with his whole body, the part that he's still able to move with his nerves and muscles, and the part, also, the part that he is still unable to move. And he talks about that in his book, which is called Waking, a very powerful story of healing. He also happens to be Episcopalian. I met someone who knew him one time from his parish. So Matthew teaches yoga to people with disabilities, mostly. And sometimes he teaches people who are able-bodied how also to reconnect more fully with their whole self. And in his book, he tells a story of one of his students named Chris, who has cerebral palsy. Chris has to use a wheelchair almost all the time, does not have much control over his arms, but can stand briefly. And Chris would often fall during his daily activities, and the falling would cause him further injury. But he had been studying with Matthew for 8 years. And Matthew taught him how to fall gracefully without injuring himself. It may seem like a small thing, but to Chris, it is everything. How to fall gracefully. The glory of God is a human being fully alive. We are called by God to be fully alive in the world, to let the light of Christ shine through us to others, to welcome the Holy Spirit at work in us. And sometimes that means that we need to offer up our own woundedness to God in order that we might bring healing to others. Because it is often in our own weaknesses and vulnerabilities that the seeds of our greatest strengths and our greatest potential for healing lie. To be a wounded healer, like Matthew Sanford, is to be fully alive. This is the last Sunday of Epiphany. We will sing and say our last Alleluias today. We are about to enter the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday this week. What better work for us in Lent than to pray to God to transform our weakness into strength, to help us become masters of ourselves, that we might become the servants of others. Most of us in this life are only given glimpses of God's glory, but that is enough. It is enough because Jesus is always with us when we fall. Whether we fall to the ground in fear, or through failure, or because of physical weakness, Jesus is always there with us, a light in our darkness, to help us back to our feet and call us home.